And at the same time, when I look at this particular book, it's very curious because it talks about a very simple prophet, a simple prophecy, and you know, and just if you count the verses, just 48 verses in this entire book of Jonah, right? In certain versions, it's only two pages, right? But and the more I see this particular book, you know, the more I learn about God, about His compassion, about His love, about His mercy. At the same time, I see Jonah as a very powerful character. And so we will continue in our studies in looking at Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. So let's pray and ask God, Lord, we thank You for once again for giving us Your Word, O God, that we have the freedom to worship You, the freedom to open Your Word, O God, to read aloud, to meditate, and to experience Your Word. Thank You, Lord, we can live our faith in this world. And we thank You for this nation too. We pray that You'll bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I was working on this particular series, many times I was telling myself, I don't want to be like this man, Jonah, right? Can you imagine a prophet disobedient to God, a prophet who knows God very well, was always seen as the mouthpiece of God. And the more I was learning, I tell myself, you know, I don't want to have anything common with this man, even though I'm speaking about this man. But the more I do, I realize the more I see about myself, or I see Jonah in me, right? There are moments in our life or in my life too, I just run away from God because God speaks to me and tells me there are certain things that He expects, and, you know, we begin to run away. And, you know, because of love and because of His mercy, He brings me back into His fold. And today's passage is a passage that talks about, you know, Jonah was disappointed with God. I do not know about you, but, you know, there were moments in my life that I felt disappointed with God. Right? As a pastor, yes, you know, yes, I gave my life, entire life to God. There were moments I felt disappointed. I asked God, why? Why, you know, and I believe, you know, many times in our lives too, we begin to ask God this question. Sometimes I know we realize, you know, it's a sin to ask God something like that. But there are moments, right, in our life we feel disappointed because when certain things are not happening in the way that we want to, right, we feel, you know, God is far away. He's not acting in my life. I don't see Him very clearly. When God is delaying in His answers to my prayers, you know, we begin to question and say, Lord, why? Why so long, O Lord? And I think we become very angry with God. We become very disappointed with God. And so Jonah is a very powerful character. It reminds us, you know, there are moments in our life, a prophet becoming disappointed with God. You know, what about us? Yes, there are moments we become disappointed with God too. But the more I see the disappointment of Jonah, I see the grace of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God. And so if today, if you're struggling with this, like Jonah, if you're struggling, you know, what is God trying to do in my life? You know, I'm disappointed. I'm angry with God. The word here is a very powerful word. It says Jonah was very upset with God, very angry with God. But if you're feeling that way, let me tell you, God loves us so much. The passage tells me, the experience of Jonah tells me, and many incidences in the Bible tells me, you know, God is not angry with us. He loves us so much. He's a gracious God. He's merciful, and He wants to reach us. A couple of things which I thought I'll share with you. You know, if you realize, you know, Jonah, in this particular chapter, he goes into the city of Nineveh, right? The Assyrian city. City was just known for its sin, its immoral life, and they were, you know, they were not a good nation at all. They were evil in the sight of God. So he goes to this particular city, and he comes with a simple message, you know, repent, right? Not repent. No, in 40 days, you'll be destroyed. And that was the message. It was a message of judgment that he was bringing to the nation. And he was hoping, you know, one day, you know, God will, after the 40 days, this entire city will be destroyed. As a prophet, I believe he knew very well, in later, as years or even after 60 or 70 years, the Assyrians are going to come after the Israelites. And so I believe, you know, Jonah was thinking, you know, all these guys are bad guys. They are going to come and, you know, destroy my nation. Lord, before they can ever do that, destroy them altogether. And so he's preaching this particular message. And then he realizes, you know, what's happening here. You know, in chapter 3, it says that the Lord repented or relented, right? There was a change of heart in the sight of God. And in verse 1, it says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. When he fell, instead of destroying Nineveh, chapter 3, you realize towards the end of chapter 3, you know, God relented. In other words, God repented. God, there was a change in God's heart. Sometimes you might wonder, it's a very theological thing, which I thought I'll not dwell today. You know, and Jonah was very upset. Instead of bringing judgment on these people, instead of showing God's wrath on the people, God's love was manifested to this great city of Nineveh. And Jonah was really upset with God. It says in verse 1, but to Jonah this seems very wrong. And he became angry. And can you imagine, this is the way he prayed. He prayed to God, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That this is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. And so he's just arguing with God. You know, in chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, you realize, you know, Jonah is very angry with God. I was trying to ask myself, you know, if I were in the shoes of Jonah, I would not be angry. Because can you imagine, this was the greatest revival that ever happened. The entire city has been transformed. The entire city have turned away from sin. And they were just, you know, giving themselves to fasting, and they were just embracing God. Can you imagine a nobody prophet, a simple, a very low prophet coming into the city? He preached a message of condemnation, but the entire city was transformed. Can you imagine? Instead of rejoicing, I think Jonah should be jumping and saying, you know, I rejoice, I'm a nobody, but God has used me tremendously. Because of me, because of the message that I have brought, there's a great revival. I think we will rejoice when we see one soul coming to the Lord. We rejoice when people get baptized in the church, right? We see two of them getting baptized. We rejoice. People gather. We bring our friends. Can you imagine an entire city coming to God? But it says Jonah got angry. He was not happy with God. I was looking at the word carefully, right? It says Jonah was angry. It means he trembled. You know, have you realized you get angry? But this anger is a different anger. You shake. Hello, parents, have you done that? Right? You shake, right? You shiver, you're kindled with fire. And if you see cartoons, a series, you'll see fire coming out from the ears. That kind of anger. Can you imagine? Jonah was not just angry with God. He was really angry with God. Right? Probably he was just throwing things away. He was kicking. Right? The Hebrew word also says he was hot. He was burning inside. He was so upset with God. Prophet, instead of rejoicing, there is no reason for him to be upset. He should be rejoicing because, you know, these people heard my message. You know, they changed their heart. But it says he was very upset with God, right? He was angry with God not because the people were converted. He was angry with God because God is merciful. In other words, Jonah was angry with God's will and God's character. Why do I say that? If you look at the word very carefully, you know, the word, the Hebrew word, displeased, right? It means, you know, it was evil, a great evil to Jonah. You know, he felt that God was doing something evil. You know, can you imagine? He felt by saving these people, it is not good. It is not wonderful, but God was doing something evil. Can you imagine this holy God was doing evil? That was the way he felt. He was questioning God's character. Lord, if you're a just God, if you're a holy God, you should destroy them. And that should be the outcome for this city. Their lives are not good. They should be destroyed. Lord, that should be the answer. That should be your judgment. That should be your wording. Lord, I don't agree with you. It's evil. It's wrong for you to save these people. So Jonah was actually questioning God's will and character. And he felt frustrated. You know, but Jonah didn't realize, I think, you know, God is so sovereign, right? He has all the power to do everything according to his will and his purpose, according to his attributes too. One of the reasons I also realize, I think, because if you look at, he said, you know, Jonah's problem is not believing God, who God is, but accepting who God is. He believed God, but he cannot accept that this God is a loving God. That's why he was saying, you know, I know about you. You are a gracious God. I know you're a compassionate God, right? He knew this God, but I think it was difficult for him to accept the works of God, the gracious hand of God, the love of God. And not only that, I think when I look at, the more I look at the passage very clearly, when I look at some of the passages, I also realize, you know, Jonah is angry because if you read certain passages, you'll realize, you know, in earlier when Jonah was a prophet, you know, in 2 Kings, you'll read it, that his prophecy became true, right, in 2 Kings 14:25. And so, and he became, you know, people were just looking at him, oh yeah, this prophet said, you know, he foretold something and it became true. And if you look at Deuteronomy 18:19, you know, if a prophet say it doesn't come to pass, then he is considered as a false prophet. So in other words, he have said judgment is coming, and judgment did not come. So it means that he is a false prophet, according to Deuteronomy 18:19. And so Jonah is thinking, you know, what would people think about me? What would they think about my character, about my call? So in other words, he was concerned about him. He was not concerned about God's will or God's character. It's about my reputation, the Lord. It's about me. It's about my prophecy. I want to be accepted. If not, you know, whatever Moses wrote, the first five books of the Bible, right? You know, Lord, the people will not accept me. So Jonah was actually struggling in the sight of God, right? And saying, you know, I question your will. You should actually judge them. You shouldn't actually show love and compassion to them. Right? In other words, you know, Jonah wanted God to behave like Jonah. I think that's the way he felt. He didn't want God to behave like God, but he wanted God to behave like Jonah. Have you realized there are moments in our life that we want God to do the things that we want? Not according to his character, not according to his will, but this is me, Lord, and this is the way I want. This is how I see, and this should be the verdict or result. Jonah was actually struggling with that. When I look at the scriptures very carefully, there were people. Moses was also very angry with God. Right? I think you know the passages very well in Numbers 20, right? God told him, right, to speak to the rock, but instead of speaking to the rock, he was angry with God, he was angry with the people, he went and hit the rock, right, for water to come. David was also angry with God. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 8, can you imagine? David was a man after God's own heart, right? He wrote a lot of psalms, and because of David, we are able to read the psalms and just enjoy the psalms. But he was really angry with God because God took away the life of a priest. If you read Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, right? Jeremiah said, it has told you, Jeremiah said, Lord, you deceived me. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He went to the city corner to preach. And, you know, can you imagine? He says, Lord, you deceived me, Lord. That's how they felt. You know, the more I look at these characters at the same time, I think I realize we must confess that there are moments that we are angry with God. It talks to me, right? I think, yes, there are moments I think we need to be confessing and saying, Lord, yes, I've been angry with you. I've been angry with your will, the way you do things, God. Your way, right? I am angry with your character. Instead of showing this, I see you revealing yourself in this way. And the deeper I go, I realize I think Jonah was actually filled with himself. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, my friend. I think that's the answer. But the more I have the Spirit of God in me, I begin to see and realize, you know, how God works in my life. Right? Secondly, if I look at the passage very carefully, you know, Jonah was expecting God to act differently. He was expecting God to act differently. One good thing about I like about this prophet, you know, what he's very honest before God. He came to God, right? Instead of running away, instead of saying, you know, Lord, I've given up on you. I'm just running away from you. Instead of doing that, he just came. He prayed to God. I think that's one thing I love about this man, right? He went to God in his bended knees. He was praying in the belly of the fish. And here he was also praying to God. He just brought things to God. If you're upset with God, there's no point running away. Just bring it to him. Right? Jonah was honest with God. He came, he brought his needs before God. And as I told you, I think Jonah wanted his way, right? And in his prayer, if you realize, he's talking to God. He's talking to God by saying, you know, in verse 2, he prayed to God. He said, you know, isn't this what I said, Lord? Right? And then he talks about, Lord, you're gracious. You're gracious. You're a compassionate God. Why is he talking to God like this? Because he says, no, Lord, this is not the way I want you to act. Right? I want you to act differently. Not only he questioned God's will and God's character, he wanted God to do the way he wanted to do. Right? And, very interesting about the character of God when you look at passages in the scriptures. There are many times you realize, God acts differently. As human beings, with all our fallen nature, fallen limitations, with our struggles, with our sin that is in us, we want God to do the way we feel that God should be doing. But in Isaiah 55:8, it says, the Lord says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor your ways my ways. His ways are different. His thoughts are different. His decisions are different, my friend. But I think the important thing is that we need to be bringing to God, yes, God acts differently. God acts differently. I look at scriptures very carefully. I was very fascinated when I was reading the life of Paul. Can you imagine God used Paul as one of the greatest prophets, but he was a man who was persecuting the Christians? Can you imagine? If I applied to NCAC to be the pastor and I said, for past 10 years I was persecuting Christians, do you think NCAC will take me? The elders will say, I think maybe you sent the application to the wrong place. Can you imagine Paul had been persecuting the Christians and then God said, you're in. We will not do it. We will say, you are the last guy. You are not in my list at all. Right? To be a minister, to be a minister for the Lord. But God acted totally differently. He took Paul, right? And he became the greatest apostle, one of the greatest apostles, right? And when I look at Peter's life, Peter betrayed Christ, right? Denied Christ 3 times. Can you imagine? Not even once, not even twice, 3 times. Right? But the Lord used him. He became one of the greatest bishop of the Church of Jerusalem. Right? God acts totally different. If we were in the shoes of God, we would say, not Peter. We don't trust him. We cannot trust that man. He's been with us for so many years. He has seen my ministry. He has been with us, but now he's against us. Why should I? That's the way you and I will react. But I think God acts differently. He acts differently altogether. Sometimes when I look at the salvation of Christ, or in other words, Christ dying on the cross, I ask myself, why Jesus have to come? Is there no other way? God could have sent many more prophets, right? But why kill his own son or give his son? I think none of us will do that. That none of us who are here as parents, you will ever want to give your child for the sins of the world. And you are not responsible for their sins. It's their problem. Can you imagine? That's not the way the world thinks. Why should I? Sometimes I have asked myself, why should God give his own only son, begotten son? It doesn't make sense, my friend, in a human mind, but it makes a lot of sense in the heart of God. And God acts differently. That's why he says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are different from my ways. The way you look at things is different from the way I look at things. We want God to act in this way because we think this is the best way and the only way. But God says, no, this is different. And because God doesn't act the way we want, we become upset with God. We become angry with God. You know, we tell God, are you still there? Are you listening to my prayer? Jonah was very upset with God. He was questioning God's character. If you're a loving God, you know, you should have done it. Lord, you should have done this way. The Lord does things differently, my friend. And lastly, let me finish with this. You know, I love this. You know, God meets Jonah at his anger. I was digging into this text to see, you know, if whether God was, you know, for a moment I was trying to read it as a human, in other words, trying to bring in human thoughts inside. I thought God should have actually acted. I told myself, you know, God should have said, you know, I know what I'm doing. Can you keep quiet? Jonah, just listen to me. I know. But if you realize, you know, God is, you know, God was not brushing him off totally. Or if not even condemning him, or even questioning him. Or saying, Jonah, you have no right to talk to me in that way. You are my servant. You have no right to, you know, to come and to question my authority, my will, my character, my decision. You know, there's no way the Lord even came in that way to Jonah. Right? I think, but the Lord was just talking to him by just asking him a question. And the question is, right? Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? You know, when God questions, you know, he's not just questioning. Because the way we answer, it reveals our heart. It reveals who we are. The more you look at the scriptures, you see God asking a lot of questions. One of the first questions, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Don't tell me the Lord is not aware. Where is Adam? He's hiding. He knows, but he knows. He wants to know, where are you, Adam? What are you hiding from? What are you struggling with? You know, God would have said, you know, I know where you are. You know, I can do whatever I want to do, but the Lord did not. Where are you, Adam? I know what brought you to that position. What brought you to that situation in your life? I think there are many questions, right? And I think even the Lord says in Isaiah 6, where, whom shall I send? You know, Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16, who do you say I am? You know, and in Acts chapter 9, you know, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, the Lord is always asking questions because he wants to know our heart, how we feel. When you look at the question the Lord was asking, I was trying to dwell on this particular passage, question, and I realized, I think the Lord was trying to tell him, according to scholarship, you know, Jonah, look at your life, right? You shouldn't be angry. You shouldn't be upset. Can you imagine, Jonah? Can you recall the day you were just running away, but even then I was just coming after you, instead of saying, I've given up on this guy. I was just still coming after you. You were just running away from me, but I still needed you. I could have sent another person, but I still wanted you. Right? I would have killed you in the belly of the fish, but I did not. I gave you a second chance. I called you again. Right? I commissioned you. You know, I've been merciful to you. I've been so compassionate to you. I've been so loving to you. Right? And why are you angry? I've been so good to you, Jonah. You know, you are a prophet, you know. And if you disobey, you know my wrath can come against you. But I've been so good to you. You shouldn't be angry with me or even upset with me. I think the question talks to us. It tells us about, you know, God was so gracious and merciful to us. And I realize, I think God meets us at our anger. Right? He can come back to us with an angry attitude, but the Lord is not. Why are you upset? What is disturbing you? What is really bothering you? Right? If I had not loved you. Can you remember, you know, the days I was with you, my presence was with you. I helped you out. I think that's the way, you know, if you're angry, I think the Lord wants us to just remember his past dealings with us. His greatness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion, his faithfulness. I can just go on and on. And you know, Jonah doesn't answer to God. But if you look at, you know, I just want you to look at this verse and I'll just finish off, right? In Psalm 13, you know, I think the psalmist, the writer of this particular psalm is saying, you know, when you have problems in your life, this is the way you need to be real with God, right? If there are certain things happening in your life, be real before God. You know, can you imagine this particular verse? He's telling Lord, how long? I was just trying to count the word, how long. Another word, how long, right? How long must I wrestle? How long will you hide your face? How long will you forget me, Lord? How long will my enemy? Can you imagine? You know, he was just real before God. He was just saying, Lord, how long? If you're upset with, if you're struggling with, you know, just be real to him and just tell him. If it's how long, tell him, Lord, how long, Lord, this have to go on in my life. The psalm is also a great reminder, because he teaches us that even though I have to be real to God, but I have to be showing, you know, reverence before God. And he uses the word in verse 3, Lord, my God. In other words, he's saying, Lord, how long? But I know you're the only one who can do in my life. And then in verse 5, he's be reflective on God's mercy. The tense here, he's just thinking of the things that God has done. If you're upset with God, take a moment to think of all the good things that God has done in your life. Right? And be responsive to God's grace. And verse 6 is a very future tense, right? I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In other words, he will continue to be good to me. In other words, the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient. Maybe it will take many more months, right? That's why the psalmist says, how long? I do not know, Lord, how long? The Lord says, maybe a bit more time, a bit more. Until then, my grace is sufficient. My strength is with you in your weakness. Right? And so, as I told you, I think the more I look at Jonah, you know, the more sometimes I see myself in Jonah. I was reading the story of this great man, Adoniram Judson, who went to Myanmar, right? Earlier was known as Burma, as a missionary. Can you imagine? He was there for 34 years, right? He died as a missionary there. For 6 years, he worked hard, and there's only one person who came to the Lord. After 12 years of hard work, he was just laboring for the Lord together with his wife, just working hard. It was a hard ground. He was just struggling for the Lord. After 12 years, there were 18 people saved. After 12 years of hard work. He did not leave America. He did not go back to America. For 34 years he was there. He gave his life. He died. And then after he died, they started counting. Right? The government at that point of time started counting, and they realized at the time Judson died, there were 200,000 Christians. Can you imagine? Probably he did not see that, right? But God was working in the lives of people. Judson could have said, Lord, I worked for you for 34 years, right? I want to see fruits. How long, the Lord? Maybe the Lord says, no, I don't want you to see. Because the way I do things is different. Let's pray. In a few moments, we are going to come together as a church, as one body, to partake the Holy Communion. The communion reminds us of God's love. Can you imagine? This God could have sent another Jonah to us. He could have sent another Elijah to us to preach. But he gave his only begotten Son for us. He could have shown his anger towards us. He could have said, you know, I've given up this entire world. They are evil. There's no way to save them. But he gave his Son, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, there are moments in our life that when things doesn't go our way, we begin to ask God questions or even become angry or disappointed with God. When was the last time you said, Lord, how long? Show yourself, O Lord. Help me to know that you are real in my life. Help me to know, Lord, that you are all powerful. Yes, the Lord is all powerful and he acts differently. So take time to think of God's goodness. It might take months, it might take days, or even it might take years. But the Lord has said, my grace is sufficient. Father, we thank you once again. We confess, O God, there are moments in our life that we are disappointed with you. We feel angry, O God. We begin to question even your character, your will, your plan. We are concerned about us, about our names, our reputation, about how people will perceive us, O God. We have wronged you, O God, in many ways. We ask for forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to cast everything into your hands because he cares for us. And he really cares for us. In Jesus' name we pray.